You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CyberWire's Research Saturday. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is our weekly conversation with researchers and analysts tracking down the threats and vulnerabilities, solving some of the hard problems, and protecting ourselves in a rapidly evolving cyberspace. Thanks for joining us.
Well, we've actually seen some landfly activity previously back in 2020, 2021 time. So then when we saw this more recent activity, we were able to kind of combine, I suppose, both those sets of research to produce this blog, because this more recent activity, I suppose, gave us a bit more insight into how landfly operates.
That's Bridget O'Gorman. She's a senior intelligence analyst at Symantec. The research we're discussing today is titled Landfly. Group uses custom backdoor to target orgs in government, aviation, and other sectors.
It just seems to be a group that's been around for a few years. The indications are that Murdoor has been around since about 2018. And as I said, we did see it used back in 2020 and 2021. And it's still being used now in this activity, which continued into the first kind of part of this year.
Well, before we dig into the specifics of Murdoor, what can you tell us about Landfly themselves? What do we know about them?
Yeah, so as I said, they've been around for a few years by the looks of things. They're an advanced persistent threat group, and we do think it's possible they have some links to some groups we would know, some previously known groups like well-known names like APT41, our Budworm, which is also APT27, as well as hidden links. And we do kind of discuss some of those potential links in the blog, but all those links were a bit loose, a little bit low confidence. So that led us to kind of break out this activity under this new group name. It seems pretty clear that this group is driven by, you know, intelligence gathering. That's their motivation. You know, as you said, its targets have primarily been in the government, communications, technology sectors, as well as aviation, which is kind of an interesting target as well. And they do seem to be very focused on South and Southeast Asia. That's primarily where their targets have been located. And obviously they're an interesting group then as well, because they do have this custom malware, custom backdoor Murdoor, which we've seen them using. And they're also using the ZXShell rootkit, which is a publicly available tool. The source code for it is publicly available, but it does seem that they have developed that tool to kind of give it some additional functionality and stuff as well. So they are able to, you know, work on their own malware as well.
Well, let's dig into Murdoor itself. What exactly is going on with this tool?
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting tool. It's, you know, kind of quite a powerful, it's a fully featured backdoor. As I said, we saw it being used in activity in 2020 and 2021, as well as in this activity. But what's interesting about it as well is, despite the fact we do think it's been around since about 2018, that's kind of when the first sort of indications seems to be, it's been in development since then probably. But despite the fact it's been around for a good number of years, its use does seem to be very targeted. We've only seen it on a handful of networks and a very small number of machines over the years. So that's interesting. So that's kind of very prudent use of the tool, and perhaps it indicates a desire by Landfly to kind of keep the tool and its activity under the radar. So the backdoor itself then, its functionality includes kind of, you know, it's fairly typical stuff. It's able to install itself as a service. So obviously that's to try and stay under the radar most likely. It can carry out key logging. It has various methods to allow it to communicate with its command and control server, and it's able to listen on local ports for commands as well from its CNC server. So typically we see it injected into the legitimate processes perfhost.exe or svchost.exe. And it's made up of kind of three components, I suppose. There's a dropper and a loader as well as the backdoor. So the Murdoch dropper, that's a self-extracting RAR file. And that then itself contains three files. A legitimate and signed binary that's vulnerable to DLL search order hijacking, which is a kind of a common technique we see APT groups using. We see the malicious loader, which is the Murdoch loader, as well as an encrypted file that contains the final payload, which is the Murdoch backdoor. So when opened, then the dropper basically extracts these embedded files. It executes a legitimate binary then in order to load the Murdoch loader. It's quite hard to say. And we did also find various variants of the Murdoch dropper that abuse basically older versions of five different legitimate applications that are abused for the purposes of DLL sideloading, essentially to kind of get this malware onto victim machines.
And how would someone find this on their system? Or what techniques are they using to install it?
Yeah, so they seem to use various different infection vectors. So we aren't entirely clear on the initial infection vector in the most recent activity. We have kind of indications of what some of them might have been in a couple of victims. From its earlier campaign that it carried out in 2020, in that campaign it appeared that the group was using phishing emails as the initial infection vector. So then in this more recent activity, we saw some indications in two victims that indicate what the initial infection vector may have been. So in one of the government sector victims, there were indications that the initial infection vector may have been SSH brute forcing. And then in another victim, we saw a file path that indicated that a load balancer may have been exploited for access. So that pointed to the fact that the initial infection vector may have been an exposed public-facing server, which is a very common infection vector used by attackers these days too. So it appears that the group, you know, basically has access to or is willing to use various different infection vectors in order to get onto victim machines, essentially.
The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business. One of the things you dig into in the blog post here is some of the details of the ZX Shell rootkit. What should we know about that?
Yeah, so the ZX Shell rootkit has been around for, you know, a long time. I think it was first reported on by Cisco almost 10 years ago, back in 2014. But the version of the tool, as I said, used by Landsflight is updated. So that's interesting. It indicates that it does continue to be actively developed by Landsflight or potentially by other groups as well. Obviously, we're not sure when that source code is publicly available. And often we do see groups, you know, sharing code and that kind of thing. But someone is certainly developing this tool. But this new version of the rootkit that Landsflight is using does appear to be smaller in size. It also has some additional functions. It also targets additional antivirus software to disable, which is one of the functions of the rootkit, that it disables antivirus software. And I suppose the various functionalities of this rootkit that Landsflight uses include keylogging, providing remote access to victim machines. It's also able to spread laterally to other hosts in the network. And it's there as well, you know, the rootkit, it sort of takes multiple steps to install itself quite stealthily onto victim machines, I would say. The rootkit's loader, it exports functions that can be used to drop payloads that match the host system's architecture. It can read and execute shell code. It can kill processes and other things as well. Also of note was that the rootkit used the installation and updating utility kind of shared some common code with the Murdoch loader. So that there was some kind of shared code base there that kind of allowed this activity to be, I suppose, connected as well. And we also see its installation functionality supporting things like service creation, hijacking, compressing a copy of its own executable in order, again, to maybe evade detection or to, I suppose, achieve persistence on victim machines as well. So it has multiple functionalities, this rootkit.
What does this say about the sophistication and I suppose even the persistence, the patience of this threat group?
Yeah, they definitely do seem to be a patient threat group because, I mean, a lot of the groups that we see that have access to custom tools and things like that, you know, we would see them deploying them, I suppose, more regularly, or we'd see them using them in attacks fairly frequently. But it does seem that this threat group, Landsly, seems to have a very, you know, kind of specific focus. It seems to know, I suppose, the victims it's interested in, and it's only really interested in deploying its tools onto those machines, because it definitely is notable that Mirador especially has been around for as long as it has been, and it's been seen so infrequently, even though, you know, it's a powerful, fully functional backdoor. So you would think when they have access to it, they would use it. But they just seem to have a very specific focus, I think, this group, and I think definitely a desire to stay potentially under the radar and keep this activity kind of low key is one of the things driving this group as well.
Well, based on the information you all have gathered here, what are your recommendations then for folks to best protect themselves?
I think obviously the usual kind of caveats apply when it comes to doing the usual best security practices, I suppose, when it comes to protecting yourself from any of these attack groups. But I think what's interesting with Landsly as well is it may have those kind of potential links to other attack groups, as I said, like APT41 and Budworm, and also, who else did I say, Hidden Links. So I think that's notable as well for people listening, is those kind of connections between all those different Chinese APT groups, that there can be a lot of sharing of personnel, there can be a lot of sharing of, you know, tools as well. Like we did see with the ZX rootkit that Landsly used, was signed by a certificate with the name We Made Entertainment Co Limited, and that was previously reported as being associated with APT41, but like that doesn't really conclusively say that those groups are necessarily connected, because we do know that these kind of Chinese attack groups can share those kind of things amongst each other. And as I said, kind of shared personnel and that sort of thing. So I think one of the things to keep in mind with this Landsly activity is, while we've broken out Landsly here as a new group, because as I said, those kind of links we saw with the other kind of attack groups weren't definitive, you know, it's certainly possible that Landsly could be cooperating with other APT groups and kind of working alongside them. And, you know, potentially that can lead to tool sharing, as we've seen with other tools in the past, such as, say, PlugX and ShadowPad, which Landsly does also use in this activity, but they're shared tools now amongst other different attack groups. So I think it's just important to keep on top of all these groups' activity, on top of the new tools that they're using, like Mirador, like this developed ZX Shell rootkit, and just to watch out for any of the indicators on your system and make sure that, like, there's an awareness that these attack groups are, I suppose, constantly working and developing tools and trying to take new steps to keep their activity under the radar all the time.
Our thanks to Bridget O'Gorman from Symantec for joining us. The research is titled Landsly. Group uses custom backdoor to target orgs in government, aviation, and other sectors. We'll have a link in the show notes. Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. The CyberWire Research Saturday podcast is a production of N2K Networks, proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. This episode was produced by Liz Irvin and senior producer Jennifer Iben. Our mixer is Elliot Peltzman. Our executive editor is Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.